Just as folks find their seats, I'd love to just take a few moments to share, as we often do here, Sunday by Sunday, something of where this joy comes from, something of how it is that we can know such reason for singing. I mean, let's be honest, there are days, aren't there, when, just life is going so great that just the sun and the fact that we're going on holiday next week or whatever it might be is reason for singing enough, isn't it? But there are other days, aren't there? There are other days when it's quite a bit harder to sing like that. I don't know about you, but I find there are days when actually I'm very aware of the problems around me. I mean, we've been doing this Hopo 9, serving our community. And as you do that, you realize that a lot of the ways we're serving are just touching the surface, because there are a lot of needs in our world. There's a lot of things that aren't quite right. A lot of, like Andrew said, a lot of rooms that are not quite what they should be. And not just rooms, but lives too. And you know, one of the things we love to do in this church is look at God's word. And God's word is very real about how not all songs are kind of songs where you've got a huge smile on your face and you're going, this is brilliant, life's amazing. But some songs are songs of lament. A lament is kind of almost like a song you sing while you're weeping. And you know, the Bible's very real about life. The Bible's very real that actually life has challenges. Life has tough times. And I want you to just find a Bible maybe next to you or with someone. And the ushers are going to bring some forward. So don't worry if you haven't got one. You can just reach out a hand. But I'd love to just in these next few minutes take you to a song. And it's actually a song that's a kind of a lament. So just raise a hand if you don't have a Bible. Tim needs one down here and a few more folks. And the steward's just going to bring you one. But there's this whole book that's basically a song in the Bible. It's actually called Lamentations. And it's found on page 822 of those Bibles you've been given. I know I'm tall, but I think Katie was standing on something. I'm just going to bring that down a bit there. That's better. And it's found on page 822, this book. And I really want to focus in on just one verse of it. Actually, chapter 3, verse 23. But I think it's worth you knowing a little bit about this book. It's a book written by a guy called Jeremiah in about 600 BC. And he wrote it at a time when there was kind of huge problems going on around him. In fact, this city he was in was under siege. That's not very good. In fact, if you look at a verse like chapter 1, verse 11 on page 822, this is what he says of that time. All her people groan. Lamentations 1, verse 11. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter for food. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, O Lord, and consider, for I'm despised. You know, sometimes there's days when you can sing and it's rejoicing, and other times there's a groaning and there's a weeping because there are problems around us. For Jeremiah, he recognized the problems in the city. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 11, you see him say something similar. My eyes fail from weeping. I'm in torment within. There's times when your heart is heavy. Again, you're aware of the problems around. And you know what happens in those times is sometimes, I think, whether you believe in God or not, those are times which actually cause you to ask questions. And the questions sometimes can go like this. They can go, well, God, if you're there, why is things going on like this? God, if you're there, why is there scenes in our city that are a mess? Why are there such a big drug problem in Bryan and Hove? Why is there such a, you know, why is there crime? And why are there all kinds of difficulties? God, if you're there, why? And sometimes it can cause us to think that if God is there, then we kind of doubt his faithfulness. We doubt that he really does love us like he says he did, like we were looking at this morning. And that can be kind of discouraging, whether you believe in God or not. You think, well, if God is there, he must have abandoned us. But here's what I want us to hear this morning. It's not that God has abandoned us. It's not that God has abandoned us. It's actually that we have abandoned God. And the writer in Lamentations is very real about this as well. Jeremiah, he says that this problems we see around us, they actually point to a bigger problem, and that's the problem inside us. And the problem inside us is that we've abandoned God. Someone once said, the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. And you see that Jeremiah, again, in Lamentations acknowledges that. Look at Lamentations 1, verse 18. He says, the Lord is righteous. So even in all this that's going on, the Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Or if you turn to something like Lamentations 3, verse 39. Jeremiah writes in this kind of, in this song of lament, he says, why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? You know, none of us actually deserve to have life as good as we have it. Because there's this problem inside us, and the problem is this word sin. So one of my friends likes to say, you can kind of describe it like this, a bit of an act, it is a little, here we go, it's a little, what's the word called? Acrostic, that's the word. Sin is like, shut up, God, I'm in charge, nobody tells me what to do. And you see, you might think, well, that's, you know, that's a fine thing to do, life, isn't it? You know, to say to God, shut up, I'm in charge. I mean, aren't we in charge of our lives? But the problem is, the choir was singing truth when they were singing about God being the king. And he's a perfect, righteous king. And to say that to God, to say to God, we don't like your word. We don't like the way you're going to do things. That's a problem. And so the problem is actually not the things around us are symptoms of a bigger problem within us. And that's what we've not kept our word. We don't keep the word always that we say to one another. And we don't always keep God's word. We, as it were, sin. We say, shut up, God. I'm in charge. Nobody tells me what to do. I do that. I'm the pastor. You might be a bit worried, but I do. I try not to do it. But that's what I sometimes do in my life. And I know the people in Holland Road Baptist Church, and they struggle with this too. And I know the people in Oasis, wonderful people that they are, they struggle with this. And I know the city we live in. I love the city. That's what people do in our city as well. So you're going, well, David, I thought this was good news, Tim said. You know, you just presented these problems. Well, here's the good news. This is the good news. The good news is that though there are these problems around us, yet God, in his love, has done something and is doing something because of who he is that actually is good news for everyone, for not just us here, but for this whole city and for the nation. And the good news is that there is hope because of who God is. And this verse right at the center of Lamentations 3. In Lamentations 3, verse 23, it says of God. And let me just read from verse 21 through to 24 so you can kind of pick it up as it goes. Jeremiah is saying, you know, in all the midst of these problems, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And hope's been the kind of name we put on this past week, because this is what happens when you kind of see difficult situations. You need to think, is there hope? And Jeremiah says, yes, there's hope. And we want to bring to people, yes, there's hope. Well, why is there hope? Well, look at these next few words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. You know, gospel songs are songs of hope, even in the midst of difficult situations. And the laments in the Bible, like this, is even a message of hope, because it says this about God. It says that God is a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. And his words are like words of truth and words of promise and words of hope that lift people. If God says it, it's true. This week I was sharing with some people in our community of how Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. We're sharing words that often people only kind of hear at a funeral, but words when Jesus says, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. That is amazing. What is it true? And Jeremiah, even in the midst of this siege, wants us to know that God is faithful and true. In fact, it's not just that his words are faithful and true. It's not just that even it's one of his characters. It's like he is faithful and true. There's a picture at the end of the Bible of God coming, Jesus coming, like riding a horse. And the name of this rider is faithful and true. That is his name. That is the essence of who he is. He is a faithful God. And you know, we get so used, don't we, to people not keeping their word. We get so used to adverts, don't you? You find adverts, they kind of make bold claims, and you kind of think, is that really true? Do you ever find that? So sometimes we can doubt God's word. I mean, do you ever get sent these kind of things? You know, must check out this YouTube clip. My wife gets sent some of these things from time to time. She got one this week from two different people. And so she thought, you know, we better have a look and see what it's like. It might be quite funny. And this is what it is. I don't know if you've seen this. So here we go, a little YouTube clip, a little diversion. But I have to tell you, I'm not convinced this is true. But my 4-year-old daughter, after seeing it, did have some questions. So here we go. Let's see if this works. It may not, but let's try it.
I'll make you feel. Come on, sit down. The hibbit to the hip, hip, hop it, don't stop. The rocket to the bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump. The boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to be.
Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. See, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello. Rock the middle, that'll make your body rock. Real simple.
You heard my voice, and then I brought two friends above.
And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on,
come and sing that song, that song.
Now I have to say, Lila, my 4-year-old daughter's comment was, can babies really do that, Daddy? And how do you answer that? I just said no. And you know, Evian water is great. You know, I drink spring water from time to time. And I know what they're trying to get at. It can make you feel young and, you know, and really kind of baby-like, smooth skin and all that. But I don't know really whether that's maybe pushing it a little bit too far. But we get so used, don't we, being bombarded with often with things that maybe have a shred of truth in them, but they're not really true. People who are saying them aren't really faithful to their word. But here's what I want you to hear tonight. Whatever you're going through, however much you might be aware of the problems around you or the problems inside of you, however much you might even be aware of your own unfaithfulness, God is always faithful. God is always faithful. In fact, all his characteristics, and we've been looking at them in recent weeks as we've gone through a number of Sunday by Sunday, thinking about his love or his grace or his justice. He is always faithfully just, always perfectly just, always faithfully loving, always faithfully gracious in every and each situation in life. So Jeremiah wants us to know that there is hope. And there's hope for you this evening, and there's hope for our city and our communities. Why? Because God is a God who's faithful to his word. As Jeremiah says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And he's faithful not just to his word, but he's faithful amazingly to the unfaithful. To you and I, the ones who don't keep our word, who don't keep his word. In fact, the Bible says later on, and the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says this, it says, if you are faithless, he, God, will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You don't know how much of a blessing that verse is to me. We have seen God's faithfulness this week. The story of this church is a story of God's faithfulness. It's not because the church has always been fantastic. It's a great bunch of people. It's not because the pastors have always been perfect and fantastic. It's because God has been faithful. And you know, the faithfulness of God to love unfaithful people is a is a bit like, well, let me tell you a little thing that happened before this service. This might just help you. I don't know if you've ever had this, but we were cooking fish fingers. It might not have been fish fingers in our flat, and Laura was trying to learn the music for the choir, and we've got two little kids, so she's trying to do the fish fingers for them. The fish fingers kind of got forgotten about, and you know what happened next? One of the kids with Jen, who was staying around, went into the kitchen, and there was sort of smoke. And we left the fish fingers on. So there we are, trying to kind of get in there amongst it all, because we want it to be safe, make sure the fire alarm doesn't go off. It hadn't caught too badly. You're looking and saying, what negligent parents. No, we were at, the kids were safe, it was okay. But it reminded me of something my dad had said to me. My dad said that God's love for the unfaithful is actually not a natural thing that we're used to. You see, when we see sort of smoke and things like that, you know, when the smoke really gets up your nostrils, you want to turn away, don't you? You want to kind of leave that because it's actually getting into the smoke and stuff like that. And naturally, we would turn our back when it's a messy, smoky situation. But God, when he sees unfaithful, when the smoke is like there in his nostrils, he doesn't turn his back, which he could do. He comes in after us to help us in our problem. And he comes into our messy world in the person of Jesus Christ. And he comes not just into our problems and our situations, but he comes and deals with those biggest of problems in our lives, our suffering, death, and that problem inside of sin. And he deals with all of those on the cross as he dies in our place, taking our sin, dealing with our death, which is the punishment for sin, entering into our suffering so that we can know that there is a God who shares and is with us in our sufferings. God is the God who loves us faithfully enough to die for us. Do you have any other friends like that? They are, they're great friends. God is that kind of faithful friend to you. Even though you might not love him, he loves you and has died so that our sins could be forgiven, our rebellion against God could be dealt with, so that there could be hope, real hope, lasting hope. So I want to end this service by inviting you to turn to this faithful God again, whether that's something you've done many times in your life before, whether that's something you've never done. I invite you, turn to him. Turn to him and say, yeah, God, I know sometimes I've been unfaithful. I know sometimes I've messed up. And we all do. But let's turn to Christ and say thank you. Thank you for his faithful love. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. And I've got some words up here on the screen, which are words of a prayer. We don't often do this here in this church, but because it's all about kind of partnership tonight, and this is kind of a bit more of an Anglican thing to do, really, to kind of have a prayer and then all kind of, you know, say it out loud a little bit. But this is a prayer up here on the screen that I just thought, if you felt able to tonight, I would love us to say this together. And it's a prayer that says this. I'm just going to read it with you now. Almighty God, I've sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through my own deliberate fault. I'm sorry. And I repent. That means to turn. I turn from my sin and I turn to Christ. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me, please forgive me and lead me out of darkness into your wonderful light. In Jesus' name, amen. Some churches, they have a prayer like this every week. It's part of the service. People say it. Sometimes they mean it. Sometimes they don't. What I would love tonight is as I just end and we pray this, that if you feel you can pray this and mean it, if you feel you do want to just keep turning from the rubbish in your life and trust in Jesus Christ, then I would love you to out loud join with me in praying this prayer. So we're all going to look up, and if you feel comfortable, then let's pray this together. Almighty God, I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through my own deliberate fault. I'm sorry and repent of all my sin, and I turn to Christ for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Please forgive me and lead me out from darkness into your wonderful light. In Jesus' name, amen.